Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The fifth station of the cross. When the crowd looked upon Mary, holding out her arms to her son, many among them wept. And as the soldiers roughly urged Jesus on, some of the bolder people rebuked them, calling out, "He cannot carry the cross by himself. Someone should help him." Within the cathedral, the people leave the fourth station and move on to the fifth. They see a stalwart man has put his shoulder under the heavier end of the cross and scowls at the soldiers who have forced him to help Jesus.
"We adore thee, O Christ, and we bless thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. Consider how the Jews, seeing that at each step Jesus from weakness was at the point of expiring, and fearing that he would die on the way, when they wished him to die the ignominious death of the cross, constrained Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross behind our Lord. My beloved Jesus, I will not refuse the cross as the Cyrenian did. I accept it. I embrace it."
Now, Simon was a man who worked hard for his possessions, and he was proud he had done this by himself, without asking aid of any man. He paid his taxes on time, but grumbled at the amount, and he gave his tithes and fees to the temple exactly as prescribed, never less and never more. He minded his own business and expected other people to do the same. For he believed that if this simple rule were followed, there would be little need of contributions to the poor. And he was fond of saying that each man made his own bed upon which to lie. And as an example of what could be accomplished in this world with good management, he pointed to himself. A few years before Jesus began to preach, he had brought his wife and two sons from Cyrene and had bought a house in Jerusalem and several small farms some miles from the city. And he thought the greatest benefit he could give to his sons was to bring them up as copies of himself.
Rufus. Rufus, come here.
Coming, Father. I was gone only for a moment.
Rufus, how often must I tell you when you work hard until you're finished before going to something else?
I know, Father.
Why did you leave the hoeing and go to the hill yonder?
I wanted to see what was going on in the city.
What's going on is no concern of ours.
But when we were coming out this morning, people were saying Jesus had been arrested.
I've told you not to listen to rumors.
But I'm sure it's true. During the night, I heard soldiers marching, and I saw the elders going toward the Sanhedrin.
It may be true. It may not. If it is, I'm not surprised. The way Jesus was acting and talking, it was bound to happen sooner or later. Rufus, why can't you be like your older brother and heed the advice I give you?
Father, I know the advice you give is good.
Ben, why don't you follow it as Alexander does?
I guess I'm different from Alexander.
But the same advice is given to you both.
Father, sometimes you give Alexander and me a shekel and you say, this is yours to do with whatever you like.
Yes, I do that. So?
Alexander will put it away and save it.
Yes, which is very wise of him. But you, what do you do? You find two loafers and buy a sweetmeat for them.
But they're my friends, and they have no money to spend. And they like sweetmeats as much as I do. Besides, I don't give all to them. I buy something, and we share equally, three parts.
How can you say you share equally when you furnish the money and they bring nothing but their hunger? You look at your toes because you can't answer that.
Well, I suppose when you look at it that way...
And what other way is there to look at it?
But I do share something. I share their hunger, and they share my shekel.
Now, what sort of logic is that? Rufus, you're like your mother. She feeds every beggar because she says it makes her feel better. But what's all this got to do with not following my advice?
Well, I was just trying to explain that Alexander and I do different things with our money because we're different inside.
Well, enough of this. Get to your hoeing.
Very well, Father. Father.
Yes, what is it now?
Why do you say that you're not surprised if Jesus is arrested?
Because he wouldn't mind his own business and let other people mind theirs.
Yet some of the things he said you agreed with.
What? I don't remember saying that.
Well, if a beast fell into a pit on the Sabbath, it would be right to pull it out.
Oh, yes, yes. A man would be a fool to let a valuable beast suffer harm.
Well, then wasn't it right for Jesus to cure a man even though it was the Sabbath?
Well, I'm not so sure. No. Not if it's going to stir up trouble with the temple.
Father, suppose... Now, just suppose that I, or Mother, or Alexander was sick. So sick we were going to die. And Jesus came by on the Sabbath and could cure. You'd feel terrible, wouldn't you? If Jesus said, I can cure this in a moment, but it's the Sabbath, so you'll have to wait until tomorrow?
That is not the point, Rufus. It's the way Jesus sets about doing things. He's disrespectful to the priests. If he's permitted to break the Sabbath, even to do good, it sets a bad example. Others will think that they can do it also. Then, where would we be if everyone was to decide for himself what he could do on the Sabbath? Why, soon we'd have no law at all.
Oh, is that what would happen?
Yes, you can depend on it. Once people are permitted to break the law in minor ways, soon they'll commit grave offenses.
Has Jesus done that?
Well, no, I can't say he has.
And people do say he's done a lot of good. Think of all the sick he made well. And they say he'll drive out the Romans soon.
Yes, that would be a blessing. I'm taxed to death to keep him here. They march and strut about as if the nation belonged to them.
Well, then we should be on Jesus' side, shouldn't we?
Well...
You are on his side, aren't you, Father?
I can't say that, Rufus. I think he's sincere but poorly advised on how to get the reforms he wants. He doesn't know how to get along with people, especially those in authority.
You mean the priests and the elders?
Yes, of course. But they're the rulers of our nation.
Well, then what should he do so they'll not be angry with him?
Well, it's too late now. But he should have worked with the priests. Well, he should have gone to them and said, now let's stop this bickering and sit down and try to work out something together. If you'll give in a little, I'll meet you halfway and By compromise, we'll get things done in Israel.
Oh. Did you ever see him, Father?
Oh, yes. And the last time is a good example of what I'm talking about, Rufus, of going about things the wrong way.
What was that?
The day he charged in on the money changers with a whip, drove them out of the temple. Well, there was no call for that. Those people were minding their own business. If he objected to their noise and shouting, he should have complained to the priests. No, my son. There are two ways of doing things. The right way and the wrong way. And he does it the wrong way.
Mother doesn't dislike him as much as you do.
Well, I didn't say I disliked him, but... Rufus, what has your mother been saying to you?
She says you don't understand Jesus because he speaks strangely at times and uses riddles.
Hmm. What else has she said to you?
Well, that Jesus is talking about things of the Spirit most of the time and not of things of this world.
I'm sure when Jesus says a man should sell everything and give to the poor, I know what he's talking about. Rufus, I've worked hard for my money, so I could leave it to you and Alexander. Where would you be if I followed Jesus' advice?
Oh, well, I hadn't thought much of that.
Well, you should. If you want to get any place in this world, you've got to look ahead. Alexander realizes that, and he saves his money. You throw it away on your poor friends.
And, Father, there's another thing that Mother says, that Jesus is speaking about the next world, and what will happen to our souls in it if we don't obey the Lord in this.
So it's your mother who puts these ideas into your head.
Oh, Father, you won't be angry with her, will you?
No, son. I can't be angry with your mother. She's the most gentle woman in the world and the most impractical. Now, let's see if we can finish two more rows before midday.
But, Father, if Jesus was
No more talk of Jesus. We must finish the work and get back to the city. We've much to do before the Sabbath begins. We'll stop now, Rufus.
Oh, good.
I don't like to see you so eager to stop work.
Oh, well, I'm not tired. I'm willing to go on.
I don't like the sky to the east. We could get a storm. That's why I'm stopping early.
Oh, shall I go and tell Alexander?
No, I'll send one of the men. We'll start for home. He can follow. Come, let's not loiter.
Father, let's hurry.
You don't have to run. We'll get home in time.
But, Father, I don't like this place. I never come this way alone.
What is it, Rufus? Are you afraid?
Yes.
Of what?
The hill, Father. I can't bear to look at it.
Yes, I don't like Golgotha either. But you must get over your childish fears.
Why must the Romans kill their prisoners on crosses?
That's to keep others from committing crimes.
But it's such a terrible way for a man to die.
Yes, but on the other hand, Rufus, you must realize that breakers of the law must be punished. And if they find themselves on the cross, they have no one to blame but themselves.
Father, have you ever seen a man die on the cross?
Oh, no, I have no desire to. This is as close to Golgotha as I ever want to come. Now we're past the place, you can slow down. We'll be through the gate in a few moments. I'll go home, but you go to the market and get the food your mother ordered for the Sabbath.
Father, there's a big crowd in the street.
Oh, yes, of course. People are here for the Passover.
Oh.
No. No, wait. It's an execution. I see a cross beyond those soldiers.
There's three of them. Look, Father. The sign on the cross.
Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Why, this is an outrage. Come, Rufus. Take my hand and hold tight.
Well, where are you taking me?
Home.
Father, I want to see Jesus.
Come, Rufus. This is no business of ours.
Halt! Where are you going?
I'm on my way home.
Then get to the side and don't block the road.
Come, Rufus. One side, please. Let me through. I wish to get through.
You can't get through. It's packed solid.
Father, look. Who is that?
Hush, it's Jesus.
Oh, Father, take me home.
Don't look. We'll have to stay here until he's passed. The crowd's too thick.
He's too weak. Why don't you carry...
Silence! All of you! You'll feel my sword. Now stand back. Give them room. Halt! Hold up, men. We'll have to stop or the king will be in the dirt again. Two of you, steady that cross.
What's this? What's this? Why have you stopped?
The king is an ordinary man, after all. He's tired. He has to rest.
He must not die here. He must be crucified. Your governor himself ordered it. You'll answer to Pilate if the sentence is not carried out.
Oh, be reasonable. I'm as anxious as you are to get this thing over with, but look at the man. It's all he can do to stand on his feet. You put the full weight of the cross on him again and he'll crumple.
He must die as prescribed, on the cross.
Don't you hear him? He can't go on.
He must. It's getting late and the Sabbath will be on us soon.
I tell you, the man can't carry that weight alone. Now, don't tell me he's pretending to be tired. I've been through this before and I know when a man is finished.
I'll go to Pilate.
Very well. I'll order the men to put the cross on him and he'll take two steps and fall. Come on, men. Up with the cross. I just as soon he died here, it'll save us all a lot of trouble. All right. Up with the cross.
No. No, wait.
All right, hold it. Now what?
Well, under the circumstances, it would be lawful for someone to help him carry the cross.
A very good suggestion. Why don't you take one end?
Me? I wouldn't touch it. It's unclean.
You don't expect my men to carry it, do you?
Very well. I call for a volunteer. Who will come forward? It is prescribed this man die on the cross. You'll be obeying the temple to help, and the high priest will cleanse you after. Now, who will come forward?
No one seems to want to help your king.
He's not the king. Pay no attention to the sign. Pilate mocks us with it. 20 denarii to the man who will help carry the cross to Golgotha.
No one moves. Oh, perhaps the king can command one of his subjects to help.
I tell you, he's not a... The temple can order it. You, the big fellow with the red beard.
What do you want of me?
Help with the cross.
No. I'm an honest landholder. I'm on my way home. Come, Rufus. Let us go.
Make way.
Stop that man.
Bring him here. What's your name?
Simon from Cyrene.
You will take up one end of the cross and help this man carry it.
I've done nothing wrong. Why should I carry it?
Because I tell you to.
You have no authority to do that.
Pilate can requisition whatever he needs to carry out his decrees.
Aye. And Jesus himself has said to his followers, whoever forces thee to go for 1 mile, go with him too.
And all we ask is that you walk a few hundred paces.
Aye, Roman. According to the man's own words, you have the right. For again, he said, to him who asks of thee, give. And from him who would borrow of thee, do not turn away.
But I am not a follower of this man. Therefore his sayings do not bind me.
You will become a follower. Pick up the end of the cross.
Scribe. Soldier. I beg of you. Do not make me do this thing. I'm a landowner. A citizen well known in the land. This would ruin me. People would have nothing to do with me when it's known that I touched this cursed wood and carried it. People would shun me.
No, come. We've spent enough time splitting hairs. Now take the cross, or I will send you to Pilate,
charged with refusing to obey a Roman's requisition. I call on all present to bear witness that I do this against my will and under threat of punishment.
Why do you shout what's apparent to all? Now get to the cross.
I obey because I must. Ready? March!
The long discussion gave Jesus a slight rest. Simon lifted one end of the cross, and they resumed the journey. And the priest and the scribes urged the soldier to make him go faster, for fear he might die on the way. For not only did they want him to die ignominiously, but to prove to the people that he was not the Messiah.
I call on you to witness. I bear this cross unwillingly.
I tell you, scribe, it will be a miracle if he reaches Golgotha alive.
He must. See to it, soldier, and there'll be a reward for you. Even let him rest if necessary.
What? Now you sing another tune. Why are you so anxious he die on the cross?
It will be proof to his followers and to all Israel that he blasphemed when he said he was the Son of God and King of the Jews.
And how will crucifixion prove that?
It's in our scripture, which is the law. He is accursed of God that hangeth on a tree.
I still don't see what this proves.
If he is the Messiah, God would not permit him to hang on a tree. So you see, if he should die on the way, the test wouldn't be complete.
I don't understand you. One moment you say, hurry him along. Next, let him rest if necessary.
If I seem to talk against myself, it's because of the same passage from the scripture, which is the law.
And what is that?
If the condemned man is hanged on a gibbet, his body shall not remain upon the tree, but shall be buried the same day.
Ah, I see. You want this fellow, all three of them, on the cross, so they can die before your new day begins.
That's correct. We will see to it.
This one's lost much blood and is weak. He may not make it to Golgotha.
I call on all to witness. I carry this cross against my will.
Father, don't. You make it harder for Jesus.
Rufus, get home.
Father, please.
Get home at once and tell no one what I am doing.
It was now about the fifth hour, and Jesus had completed almost half the distance to Golgotha. The crowd had thinned out somewhat. Some had left because they could no longer bear to look upon the procession. Others had lost interest and had gone to their homes. Simon no longer shouted of his reluctance to lift the cross, but moved to pity, took more of the weight on his big shoulders. And still the procession moved slowly because of Jesus, who staggered from side to side because he could not see clearly where he was going.
Stand back! Clear the way!
The man cannot see where he is going.
Oh, we'll have to call a halt.
I feel him shaking. He'll fall again.
No, woman! Get back, you cannot go to him.
Veronica! Veronica, what are you doing here?
Veronica, stay where you are!
Stop her, it is forbidden!
A woman had broken from the crowd and had come toward them. She was dressed in the manner of a Roman gentlewoman. And as she walked toward Jesus, she unfurled a rich scarf from her hair, and she heeded neither the warning nor the encouragement, for all her attention was fixed on the face of Jesus. And the soldiers did not stop her, but looked at their leader, who stood amazed and gave them no order. For she looked at him in such a manner, it was impossible for the leader to utter a word. Only when she came in front of Jesus was the leader able to speak.
Veronica, go away from here. I am your husband, and you must obey me.
But she ignored his command. And turning from him, she knelt in the dust before Jesus. And the leader put out his hand to stop the procession, for fear the heavy cross might fall on her. And the crowd was silent and awed by the boldness of this woman, who had refused to obey the leader, and did not hesitate to soil her fine garments in the dirt. And they spoke among themselves, saying, "Who is this woman? From where did she come?"
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymoor for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymoor. Attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need. Please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymoor, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may He look upon you with kindness and give you His peace. Amen.